Welcome to Sense, Sensibility, and Chaos, where we navigate life's weirdest moments with varying levels of grace, and sometimes none at all.
I'm busy, meticulously prepared for every social situation, yet somehow still managing to overthink every interaction for the next 10 years.
I'm well-read. I have thoroughly researched etiquette, body language, and social norms, and yet still have the reflexes of a raccoon caught in headlights when things go off script.
And I'm Tall Girl, an expert in talking my way out of awkward moments, mainly because I seem to be a magnet for those moments.
Today's episode is all about navigating those mortifying, uncomfortable, and completely avoidable, yet somehow inevitable, awkward moments.
So whether you've accidentally sent a text to the wrong person, blanked on someone's name for the 50th time, or committed a social crime you didn't even know existed, we've got you covered.
Let's unpack the cringe.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, ladies.
How are we doing?
I mean, awkward. In line
always
with the topic.
But it's on theme.
It's on
it
point.
Is. We
I'm
are
ready.
On brand and on theme. Glad to hear it.
Yeah.
Thank you for committing to the bit.
I there's no other way I would want to go through this.
Absolutely not. It always helps to have that extra anxiety when you're talking about things that make you anxious.
Yes, because my anxiety should have anxiety and be
so
awkward.
It's not alone.
No.
So it's not alone.
Exactly.
You sleep for 8 hours. You can't leave that unsupervised. It needs a buddy.
It needs a friend. Everybody needs a friend.
Mm-hmm. I think a good starting place, accidental text mishaps.
I am paranoid, legitimately paranoid about texting the wrong person. Even if I deliberately choose someone's name in my phone, text them, I will go back later and check to make sure that I texted the right person and not another person.
Yes.
Yes. I am obsessive and paranoid in that regard. Because I have seen too many things go wrong.
So one time, I had had a sleepover and I was leaving and the guy texted me, "Have a good day." And somebody else had texted me, "How was it?" And I sent a review of the sleepover to the guy. And I wrote, "Good day. Hope you have a good day too," to the review requester.
Oh my God.
Yes, that's my nightmare.
For the rest of the day, I just turned off my phone. Like, I saw him writing back and I saw what I had written to him. And I was like, I turned my phone off for the rest of the day. I was just like, no, phone off.
Wait, hold on. What was the review? Was it in his favor or not?
I'm going with not.
Oh.
Look, it was a solid 54%, mostly
okay.
Based on
got the job
effort.
Done.
Okay.
Gotcha. But like, I don't think most people expect to say good morning and then
and
hear a very
performance.
Very honest feedback.
Listen,
like,
maybe
if at the restaurant you give the chef the review as he brings you the amuse-bouche, like... Most people
I
wait until they're home for the Yelp review. I mean, at least I wasn't on premises when I texted him, but like, that was one of those moments where I was just like, just turn your phone off. I think I messaged you guys like phone broken or like left phone at home. Like, message me online today. I didn't tell you why, but it was like, yeah, I didn't turn my phone back on for at least 12 hours.
Wait, did you break it down into categories? Like, enthusiasm.
Oh, come on. It's her. Of course she did.
Yes.
Okay, like, we know that I auto-dictate 90% of my messages. So, like,
yes.
While walking to the 4-5, like, there was at least two blocks of non-punctuated
word vomit.
Tips and
lovely.
Suggestions.
Oh, with hints and tips.
You know, you made his next encounter a little bit more awkward, but a little bit more informed.
Did you ever talk to him again?
I'm going to go with no.
It ended up with a give me a second chance, and there was improvement.
No.
It became a solid 61%, but like, he is in life a D student.
Oof.
I mean, like, onboarded it, but also like,
I think
that's like the worst one that I've ever done.
I was gonna say, that's I don't have anything that close. I feel like I'm slacking then. Like, I
Now,
mean,
I've seen other people do really embarrassing things or like really screwed up things, but I've never.
no, not to that level, not to her level.
No.
Listen, I've had someone.
Nobody does to my level, and I don't
No.
even try.
No, that is true. The other day, one of our acquaintances reached out to me. She's like, "Hey, do I need? I'm for tomorrow for work. I'm bringing the laptop. This, and this. Do you think that's okay?" And I said, "I have no clue, but it sounds good to me." And she liked it. And I was writing back, "I think you have the wrong person." And then she looked at who she looked. Oh my God, I'm so sorry. I'm like, "No, that's fine. I just didn't want you going to your job." She had to go
Yeah.
into the office and having the wrong information. But that is like minor. Like I do that too. Like I think I'm messaging red and I'm messaging tall or something like that, but nothing like a performance review. That's a good one.
I also feel like because they're so socially awkward and my brain protects me, I am sure you remember awkward situations that I don't because my brain. Like, we've talked about the creepy waiter when and I went for sushi, and
Yeah.
at the funeral when somebody wanted to climb me like a sequoia. But, oh, that's socially awkward.
Okay.
Trying to get you a stalker on our podcast.
Yes.
And
I
she lives
prefer
at
we not.
123 Mockingbird Lane. She keeps the key under her mat, second bedroom on the left.
Is a bit weird.
Gross.
Do you ever experience embarrassment from hearing about other people's stories?
Oh yeah.
That's one for
I get
me.
secondhand embarrassment a lot.
Yes.
A lot. There are certain TV shows I can't watch because of secondhand embarrassment.
TV shows, reading a book, hearing stories about people who are friends of friends who I don't even know. I don't know them. We know of each other, but I've never met. We don't talk. And hearing things that have happened to them, I'm just hearing the story turn beet red because I'm like, oh my God,
Oh yeah.
I feel so bad for them. You know, sometimes it's their own doing, sometimes it's happened to them. And I'm just like, oh, no, please don't.
We know that I don't pay attention to names. A
Correct.
lot of people tell me stuff, so I know like the interesting points of the story, like this person did this and this, and they're stealing from the company and whatever. I very often halfway through like group dinners are like, oh, is that the Jill you've been telling me about for 6 years? Like that's stealing paperclips office Jill? It then like I get so awkward at the table because in my head I'm like, oh my God, you're Satan. But like, and then I try to think about controlling my face, which makes it twice as awkward. So like,
Wait, let me make sure I'm understanding this. You might go out with a friend. They invite one of their coworkers that you've been hearing them talk about for however long, and they did not give you the heads up to who the person is.
I think they assume that my brain can handle information and stores it well. So they're like, yeah, Jill, the coworker, who, like, puts cans of tuna fish in her bra every day. I heard cans of tuna fish, Jill, bra. The rest, my brain was just like, this is unimportant information, and discards. Like, I empty a recycling bin on my desktop every day. My brain holds what I find interesting. There's a woman who puts tuna in her bra. That was the important part to me. Jill, the location, the coworker, that she might be at a dinner with us. My brain was like, none of this matters to me whatsoever. So very often in the middle of situations, I'm like, you're tuna. Oh.
See, I'm going to blame the friend who did not give you a rundown because we all know if that was in my situation, you would be getting beforehand, "Hey, this is Jill. Here's what I've talked to you about. This is what we don't bring up. This is what we avoid. And don't look at her, you know, her shoulders. She's weird about her tennis arm or something, whatever it is. Like, don't point this out. Don't ask about this in her life. Don't ask about, you know, generic topics that might send her into a panic. We don't want to hear about it." So I blame the friend for not giving you a review rundown
Wait,
because
Not everybody runs on your level of index cards and pre-event notifications. It
I
would be
think
lovely if they did. Like,
I
this
don't
is
think it.
Tim, and Tim is sleeping with Jim, but Jim is also used to date Sally, and Sally is now dating. Like, it would be great if before walking into social situations, we got those heads up. Very often people forget.
See, I think it's important, but big shop here. I want to make sure that we're all in the best situation for each other. So that might also include the coworker who's coming, because maybe they're going through a bad divorce. And maybe, we don't really want to talk about that, but like, yeah, if she brings it up, listen and talk, but don't. So it goes for both ways. Sometimes it's just to give you like, hey, here are the dots. Let me help reconnect them for you right before you have to engage with the dot. But also, hey, that dot is going through some stuff. Let's not talk about this. But wow. Okay. Wait, is there really someone in your past life who had someone carrying tuna cans in their bra? That's the bigger question I have right now.
They had those. Remember when I want to say schooner tuna, and that's not it. There used to be those
Starfish.
little snack cans of tuna.
Yeah.
Her office was like one of these tech startups that had a lot of like food, and this was during like Atkins when there was like a lot of beef jerky and whatever. They had those little cans of tuna, and she, I guess, was bringing them home as like free food, but
Oh,
she would
okay.
stuff them in her bra, and she had like. When a shirt's a little bit thinner, you kind of see like the line of the
Yeah.
bra. So she had a thin bra and a thin shirt, and you could just see these like tuna can lumps. But she would like steal them at lunch, but then like would walk around for an hour or two, I guess forgetting or didn't get back to her office. So she just had these lumps of cans of tuna in her bra for a couple hours, and then it was
Insane.
like
Okay, I
hot
mean.
tuna was, it was more of a question of like, did you alter? The tuna with your 98-degree body heat, like.
We didn't just okay. See, now I have more questions. Why not just take them back to your desk? Put them in your purse like a normal person
Why not
stealing
stay
something
until
from the 6 o'clock.
6 o'clock? Just stay until 6 when everybody else has left and clean it out before the cleaners come in to do the restock every night. Nobody would know. It's see, this is the problem because my brain is like, oh, you're the person I have questions. And then the entire meal is just me trying to contain my natural I have questions.
Okay.
Like, talk to me about why you haven't thought of a padded bra. Or if you're a B cup wearing a D cup to work and like, making it a full papoose
Cans
kind of
under the
like.
boobs then, because then the boobs would be up. You might not have the can, and like I don't know why I'm right now like pushing up my own bra as if people could see me doing this, but like put it underneath so that you don't have tuna
Here's
can or
something that'll
cans.
cause both of you to have questions.
If you have tuna in your bra right
I
now.
do
Good
not have tuna
God,
in my bra
no.
right now. I have never had tuna in my bra, but I have had cans in my bra before.
I've had cameras.
I mean, I've had keys and
They're
I've had my
uncomfortable when you put them
phone and I've
underneath.
had. Look.
Listen, I go into concerts and you can't bring stuff in. You
You
fit.
find ways to do it.
If
It's
we
a
have to have
purse.
these as women, let's make the best of them. And that means we're going to have a small bodega in our cups.
In the
And
brocket, as my cousin calls them.
what does she do?
The
The
brocket.
brocket. I like that. Not the
Trademark
pocket,
patent
the
pending.
brocket. Yeah. And you just put it in. All right. So I think you mentioned, excuse me, also, tall girl, about how you forget names.
All the time. I will remember what you wear, what you say to me. Like, names don't stick in my brain. I don't like once your name finally does stick, I'm good, which is probably why I keep on trying to use your real names in this podcast instead of yours. It's just, it's a thing about my brain. I think because I'm remembering so many other details when I meet you, I like the last thing that goes in because I can get away with not calling you Tom. I can function in a world where I can yell, like, hey, you, fire. I can get away with not knowing your name 98% of the time. Knowing that you're a psychopath or you're a pocket pincher or, like, that you have a weird skin condition, I don't want to sit next to you in a conference. Like, these are infinitely more interesting, like, data points for me to have than your name. And because there's like 12 names and everybody has the same stupid 12 names, it becomes even less important to me.
Okay.
Knowing I should never let you walk me to my car at night, that ranks higher in my brain than like Jim.
How about you, Red?
Yeah, I also forget people's names, but I've gotten better about that. I heard once that if you repeat the name 3 times in the first conversation, it'll stick with you. So I try to do that, even though it's a little bit weird, it's a little bit awkward. But I do try to make the name stick as well as I possibly can, because as we all know, I will avoid them like the plague if I can't remember their name.
I'm the weirdo probably of the group that, well, yes, I think I'm decent with remember names.
You're insane with remembering who the F everybody is, man.
Okay. Yes.
Not just a name, but the name origin. How many great ancestors had this name? What was the inspiration or the song that inspired your parents to think of the name list? Where was the name on the name list? Was it like number 4, and why didn't they choose number 1?
I think you're giving the listeners this idea that I'm just sitting here mapping out every and all things for.
You don't do it consciously, but you do do it.
Show the listeners the notes on your phone that you have on just one person.
Shut up.
Because
I hate you with a deep-rooted passion.
we know you.
Well, listen, sometimes. Okay, here are the notes that I have for people. We're going to make this awkward. Let's do it. So usually I like to try and list anyone's allergies, like to
In case
food,
you make them food.
allergies to medications. Those are important. So God forbid one of you broads passes out when I'm with you. I want to make sure I could tell the medics and the doctors, hey, this trick is allergic to insert here. So yes, that stuff I will put. I might put favorite things that you like in your life, movies, songs, stuff of that nature. Or if something, and I'm waiting for a tall girl's face to like light up as I say this. If there's something that you've been looking for, or something that brings you joy, or something that you haven't been able to find in forever, I will make a note of stuff like that. So, yes, I do keep notes on people, not in like some creepy stalker way, but in a,
In a very
I'm,
considerate way.
no, it's never stalkery. It like it is. If you take my note out of your phone, I'll know we're forever done, and I will cry about that.
No, like
It's comforting to know.
parents' names, I sometimes will list like, and some people's I have like their closest friends and their kids' names so that I make sure I can remember the correct name when we're talking about them. So yes, I keep notes about people to try and help keep the important information accessible, excuse me, for me to get to with me.
How
What?
we are different is I was once reading a book where the character's name was Bettina, and one of my friends introduced me to her new friend, and I think her name was something like Kathy, Carol. But you called her Bettina. I don't know why, but I did call her Bettina, and then it kind of became a thing, like I didn't mean to. And by the end of summer, somebody had actually bought her one of those little keychain license plates, and they had had a customized Bettina. I'm no longer friends with the original introducer or this chick, Carol, Kathy, whatever. To this day, her Facebook has her first name, brackets Bettina, last name, and people call her Bettina.
See, I will do that too. I'm pretty good with names, but I'm not, perfect, obviously. But I also have no problem flat out saying, I'm sorry, I know you've told me this 3 times. I'm just not catching it. Or did you say red or bread? And I'm gonna ask someone, and I said, and I'll tell them, listen, if I screw this up, please correct me because I want to make sure I get your name right. Because it is your name, and also with pronunciations, I would be the same way. People go, you can no, tell me your name. It is your name. It is important to you, and you're who you are. So let me get it right. But if I forget, I have no problem falling on the sword. In addition, though, if it is going to be awkward, if we were in a group, and I turn to one of you, and I give you a look. I expect you two to understand that I'm about to do something and I need you to roll with it, because I'm going to come up to the new person, or the person whose name I can't remember, and be like, oh, this is my friend, tall and red. And then I'm hoping that that person will say, hey, I am Bob. And then I can remember that. I need you two to be locked in when I do stuff like that.
Have I ever not been?
No, I'm just making sure. So now we have an audio record.
An audio pact.
That's right. An audience, I need you to keep her accountable. But that is, I think that's what I do when I can't remember the name. I will introduce someone I am with. Or if I see there's someone with them who I definitely have never met, I'll say, oh, hi, my name is Busy. And then they'll say, you know, what their name is, to try to help make it move along.
I give people nicknames.
Oh, they get nicknames too. Don't get me wrong. I am, the amount of nicknames I have from all different of my, you know, my different friend groups and, you know, different parts of education and like organizations, all, yeah, plenty of multiple nicknames from multiple people, many, but I also know the real name.
I mean, I think I know mnemonics help trying to remember people's names too, or alliteration. Just a couple more.
So like your real name there, but is like Aaron. But ever since I heard a little comedy sketch about Aaron, it does not matter. Somebody, I know your name. Somebody repronounced your name in a certain way. Every time I think of your name, I think of the mispronunciation, and then I have to correct myself, like, in my brain and in those 2 seconds, because the mispronunciation of your name is so much more fun for my brain, so it's like, Aaron, Aaron.
That's fair.
Everybody's time.
Brain works differently.
We know this. My brain is fundamentally just...
Like reading. Fundamental.
It's true. And yet I can remember characters' names, like, no problem. Because, like, the characters matter more to me than people.
It's a different part of your brain. Different part of your brain.
Gilbert Blythe for life.
Gilbert Blythe. Oh,
hold that moment. We have a moment for Gil.
What about when your brain decides to make the situation worse?
All the time. It's a snowball effect. I can't just stop at, like, mild embarrassment. I have to dial it up to 1,000.
Oh, wait. Let me clarify. Do you mean worse in the sense that you mispronounce their name and your mouth keeps going because you can't stop? Or you mispronounce a name, but then in your mind, you're having a whole like spiral that no one is aware of but you?
Could be both, could be either. I think when you're spiraling on the inside, the mistakes tend to come to the outside regardless. So if you mispronounce somebody's name and they correct you, and then you mispronounce it again, and they give you that look.
Like, why can't you remember this?
Like, why can't you remember this? Yep. It's simple name. Simple name. Anne. On. Can't possibly mispronounce it any other way, but I'm still going to do it. And I start to spiral as a result of the fact that I am still going to mispronounce it because my brain doesn't want to accept the real pronunciation for whatever reason.
I have a thing that as a grown-up, I'm not a grown-up. I'm really not. I'm grown-up shaped at best, and that's...
Oh, yeah.
Whoever thought we should be the new adults was really high at the time, because I think this is just...
But, like, as an adult, I'm not supposed to look at your misspelled neck tattoo and, like, make a facial reaction. I, as an adult, have 2 eyes... And occasionally, I know how to spell words that are incorrectly spelled on your neck face tattoo, and yet
I... You have
no
poker face.
I have... Okay, at work, I can actually poker face, but on the inside, I am literally screaming to myself, don't move a muscle! Not one!
Yeah, I agree with that.
Like, I need so much Botox. Like, if I was ever in a higher corporate field, I would just have to have... like late 80s, early 90s Botox, where like nothing moved. But even then, apparently, my eyes, like even with the COVID mask, people are like, your eyes, are more
are
than
very
enough.
expressive. Yes.
I look, I have too much emotion. I have to be like really working, or it has to be a situation where I know I have to shut it down. But
oh, but like in an everyday situation, you have a face tattoo that's misspelled, and I'm not supposed to comment on it because I'm a grown-up and we're not allowed to look, and we're not about, like, I need 5 seconds. I need, for the count of five, to just look at it, let my brain handle what the hell is going on here, and then I can move on. But instead, I am spending 90% of my brain resources on, that is not how you spell freedom! It's not how you spell freedom! There's no X in freedom anywhere! No variation of the word freedom has an X in it! And then the other 10% of my brain is just like, so tell me about how your wife's cheating on you, because I can't stop that thought from coming through. So, like,
Swiss
I'm
cheese
thinking
fluff.
about the shades of foundation I have in my purse, and maybe I could just correct this while we're standing here. Like, what are the odds he's going to let me put cover up on him to grammatically correct the errors on his face tattoo? Whatever comes out next is usually like, the number of people who walk up to me and you can tell how freaked out they are about my height and how much they want to ask about my height. And instead of just asking, like, how tall are you? Because we're not supposed to ask that question. They come up, and you've seen it, with the weirdest questions on the planet.
Correct.
And I'm like, it would have just been so much better if I could have just told you, I'm 6'2". Like, we could have been done with this whole situation if you had just asked the front question in your head, and mine would have been, can I correct the tattoo on your face?
All right. I mean,
it's not embarrassing, but you've witnessed it. It's...
Oh yeah, no, you are a magnet. Like, I don't understand. I will never, and I will probably say this multiple times as we record, I will never understand how, of the three of us, you are the quietest and more reserved if it needs to be. But you just have, like, there could be us and one other person, and they are going to say some weird, bonkers thing just to you. It's always you. It's always, like, you have a magnet.
You guys have been standing next to me. They had a pick of all three of us. They could have said anything to.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's
like
always you.
Heat-seeking missile of just like. It's like, oh, well, what's your most awkward situation? I'm like, every single day. Sometimes I don't even have to leave the house. It just comes in via Zoom.
Yes.
Like, it, there is no situation that isn't.
I don't know. You're paying for some kind of karma in life.
I mean, look, my life could be boring, so I look at it like some people leave the house, nobody sees them, nobody talks to them, nobody interacts with them. So I'm like, okay, at least my outside life is entertaining and reaffirming that I don't need the most therapy in the room. But some of y'all really need to just duct tape, like wear a COVID mask because, but like duct tape under the mask to just stop. You guys are twisted.
Do you ghost people if you've had bad situations?
All
Like,
the
do you?
time.
Okay.
All the
Well,
time.
we learned about, you know, sleepover arrangement.
54%. Yeah.
And how do you Irish goodbye? Do you just stop replying to texts till it's just they should get it through their head?
I don't Irish goodbye in social settings. Like, if it's a club and, like, you know, you're hosting a New Year's Eve party, do I feel the need to walk up to you and be like, okay, I'm leaving now? No. If it's a party at your house, I will never Irish ghost. Like, I know a lot of people do, but I'll just be like, oh, it's 5 o'clock. I'm going home. Have a nice day. Like, I don't need to be the last one at the party. I think ghosting sometimes is more polite because even when you try to, like, politely exit with some people, they're not interested in letting you exit. So, like, at a certain point.
Or at least exit politely.
Like, I mean, I've had friendships that peter out because, like, you know, people just whatever. And it's like, you never officially say like we're no longer going to be friends. You kind of just stop talking for one reason or another. Weirdly, when they text you back like 4 years later, you're like, why? But yeah, I think there's just some things that kind of like peter out over time, and that's acceptable. Not related to dating, but I think sometimes like some people just won't accept a goodbye. So like, I have no choice but ghosting.
What about you, Red?
If I have reached a certain emotional point, I will ghost. I have to be pushed to an extreme in order to do it. Especially if there's a long-standing relationship there. But most of the time, I try to be a big girl and say, listen, this, especially when dating, this isn't what I was looking for. This isn't working out. This is not a situation I want to be in. Yeah, I try to use my big girl words whenever possible, but it isn't always possible.
I think, no, I've seen you. I think for you especially, what usually is the determining factor is when you've tried, you've used the word and you said, hey, this is, either, we're having communication issues, this isn't working for me, you're not respecting boundaries. The boundaries is a big thing for you.
And boundaries and respect. Yeah.
Healthy, respectable boundaries
If I
are
feel
big.
disrespected, that's it. You're done.
And so I think for you, I've seen situations when you've explained to person A, hey, we're having, I'm not, this is not working, or just because we're friends doesn't mean you have complete access to me at all hours just because you want it, or thank you for, it's nice that you have, feel affection towards me. It is not reciprocated. I would like to still be friends. They say yes, but then they still make it weird. So I have seen you like finally just been like, all right, you don't want to hear what I'm saying. You don't want to respect my boundaries. We're done. So
That's me to a
and
T.
also like on a society level, somewhere between like Tinder, Grindr, whatever, like left on red, societally, I think it's more accept like when we were younger, you couldn't just kind of ghost somebody in the same way because usually somebody in your friend circle knew them. You were inevitably going to end up at a party
Right.
with them. Like, it was highly unusual that if you lived in New Jersey, you were dating somebody in Michigan. Like, that was just not. And now in this like online world, it's just like there's this kind of like, hi, we talked for 4 days and then never again kind of thing. Or like, yeah, I figured out what narrative you're looking for here. I'm out. Like, I had a friend recently who just, their narrative was everybody abandons me, and that's not actually true, but we don't talk anymore because that's the narrative you wanted, and congratulations. Like, you got what you wanted. I'm not interested in engaging anymore.
I had a friend once and just completely dropped me. And it was, I came to find out later from a mutual that the friend, her mother was going through some illness, and I guess she hadn't told me, so I was unaware. So, like that was, instead of just saying, hey, my mother is going through a health problem right now, I don't have time, she just completely stopped talking. And I think some, like, I understand obviously you have to do what you have to do for your own point, but also being adults and just saying to someone else, I don't have the bandwidth right now to talk to people. And we've done it to each other, we've done it to other friends. Said, hey, right now my life is upside down. If I'm a little quiet, that's because I'm going through some stuff. But think it's just a, it makes it less awkward if you could just use communication.
100%.
It's also emotional maturity. Like the dramatic friends we had when we were younger, like as we get older and as our lives get busier, I think some people have been collectively kind of been voted out of the friends groups because they constantly kind of trauma dump on us, or they constantly like they're the ones who call at 3 a.m. with like my emergency, like I ran out of cat food kind of stuff. Like collectively, there's usually a secondary kind of like group chat that's just like And this is where we are kind of stuff. So I've seen people get excluded from groups because they've been told, it's been mentioned to them, like somewhere in the group text is like, and maybe we don't text an entire group of all 22 of us at 3 a.m. when you have like a kitty litter shortage. And when they don't get that message, all of a sudden there's like girls group part two, and like one person has been left off of it because they're just not getting the message. So it's like a communal adios.
See that happening. Be awkward.
And then,
What's
of
the
course,
most what's the most ridiculous excuse you've ever used to leave a conversation?
this is really terrible. But maybe in a bar one time when this guy just wouldn't leave us alone and like kept on like, I really want to buy you a drink. I really want to buy you a drink. And I was like, no. And at some point I was like, oh my God, you know what? I think I'm pregnant. I gotta go check. And I like literally walked into the bathroom. I really was. I was trying everything nice and everything right. And I think I was like three or four drinks in at the time. And I was just like, I don't want to be gross. And I think my brain was like, this will probably chase him away. So, yeah.
I might top you with dramatics. I was at a lounge club area, and this guy would not, like, he was older, and he felt that because I had hands, that meant he could just reach out and grab them and kept
Nope.
coming. Yep. And he was like, why aren't, where is your husband? Where is your husband, beautiful lady? And I said, he's 6 feet under, and I put him there.
Good for you.
And he just went, his face was like, and he just did an about face and went the other way.
Good for
And
you.
I wish I could say I know where that came from, but it's crazy in my brain, so that just came out.
I think it's like when you're pushed into a corner, you're trying to be polite and you're trying to be polite, and then it's just like to the dude who is not getting the message. And also sometimes an
We're all
aggressive
collectively
lesbian in a
nodding.
club, like, yeah.
Yeah, but you got to be cla excuse me, you have to be careful with that too, because there are some men who'll be like, oh, you're a lesbian, can I watch? No, this, damn it, I don't like you. Step off.
I
Please
think
find a bit of traffic to go run in.
most women's like awkward situations are almost directly related to a guy for one reason or another because they do. You're trying not to die and you're trying not to get raped in the parking lot after leaving this environment, and you're trying to not have him blow up your career, and you're trying to not have him like rat you out to his wife who will get you kicked off the board or something. And like your brain is just like, I was polite minus one, minus one. And then finally your brain is just like, you know what? This is all I got left. I might be pregnant. I gotta go now. Like, it's just, I think women would be at least 53% like less awkward if men just didn't talk to us in public in situations where we were clearly not interested in having to interact with them.
I think it's, I'm not, I wouldn't say necessarily that they don't have to talk to us. I think it's if they were aware enough. And I've had women too, but I would say majority would be from the male perspective of saying, if they're talking to us and they could pick up on the clues and realize that not every person is trying to play hard to get, that is not every situation. Just,
That's rape culture, my friend.
I know, but there are people, even if they're not trying to, attack you. They just think that they are entitled to
To
your
your
time and
attention.
your talking. And so I think that's for anyone. I don't know what any other, have you had any excuses, Red? Or the
Oh,
most ridiculous one?
the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard, I can't say on this podcast. We'd get kicked off of all of our
Can you
showcases.
paraphrase, or what the gist of it was?
I had someone ask me if I keep myself clean.
In person or on an app?
In person. Asked me very specifically if I keep a very specific part of myself clean. That was my most awkward interaction.
Like in a bar or like on the subway?
On the street. I was walking from the subway to my destination, and this person put a hand on me, stopped me.
That was their first mistake.
And asked me, did I keep myself clean?
Okay.
I spit in his face and I ran.
I wouldn't have wasted the saliva, but otherwise, yeah.
I couldn't think of another way in the moment to get his hand off of me.
Whatever's necessary.
Yep.
Oh my god. I mean, I'm used to... There was a guy who once bought my shoes. I was walking down the street. I was walking down the street, and the guy was, like, at the stopwalk, and I was with somebody. They're like, those are nice shoes. Got to the next crosswalk. The guy was like, those are really nice shoes. And I mean, like, it was after a night out. We were not completely sober.
Alert.
By the fourth block, I was like, buy them or leave us alone. And he was like, and he did offer to buy my shoes. And then we were like kind of near one of the stalls that sells like those little flip-flop things. I sold a pair of shoes for, I think it was like $50 back then. And he bought me a pair of flip-flops. And it was just like, I miss those shoes.
He loved those shoes, I'm sure.
I was just like at that point in my head, I was like, this will probably get rid of you. Like it, my math was like, I will get $50 and you leaving us alone, because we were like 16 blocks away from where we were going. It was just like, and the girl I was with is like, what are you doing? I'm like, $50. And this creeper doesn't follow us for the next 16 blocks.
Yeah, I've seen women being followed by people, and they'll just turn and scream in their face. Like, take out the domination moment. And
when we were at university, because the farthest building from our dorms, freshman year, the furthest walk, there was a lot of grassy area in between. My freshman dorm advisor was like, well, you know, if you ever feel like, just get down on the ground and moo. You know, if you hear somebody walking behind you, you know, just like get down on the grass and moo. And I was like, what if they like farm animals? Like, this isn't always the best suggestion. Like, this could actually end up, I'm down on all fours mooing. This could get worse instead of
better.
That could
be really bad.
Like, why don't I just keep running and yell? Why was that your first, like, to this day, it's still in my head. I'm like, why was that the first suggestion?
Why am I, what if I am not near a grassy area? Like, what? I don't even know where to rank that. I'm going to put that as not actual help.
It's like the things people say to me that will forever stick in my head. I'm now like,
rent free.
Yes, this is how you keep freshman girls safe on the late night walk, because there were classes until 8 in that far off building on our campus. And it was a dark, grassy walk. But like, how about the school issue grape whistles? How about we all practice how loud we can yell? Maybe like a campus sponsored jujitsu class? Like, no. Just moo. Maybe chew some grass.
The least helpful advice we've ever received.
Well, that's a wrap on today's episode. Join us next time when we tackle another aspect of social survival.
If you enjoyed this episode, subscribe, leave a review, or at least tell a friend who finds themselves cringeworthy situations on a regular basis.
Want to hear more? Join us on Patreon for extra embarrassing stories, exclusive content, and behind-the-scenes chaos.
See you next time.
Till then, stay sensible.
Or embrace the chaos.
Preferably both.